Hi, I'm Sharad Kudan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that's all about bringing you the most important conversations of the day. This week is the Port Dickson by-election, with voters expected to go to the polls on Saturday the 13th. This, of course, is extraordinarily important for the life of politics in Malaysia today. Now, this move was precipitated when a member of parliament for Parti Keadilan Rakyat resigned in favour of his president, Anwar Ibrahim. Anwar's re-entry into parliament is seen, of course, as part of the plan that the Pakatan Harapan government telegraphed some months ago about succession for government leadership. He's expected to take over the reins of the premiership from Tun Dr. Mahathir in some time. Now, the results are still not a foregone conclusion. Of course, in any democratic race, it should never be a foregone conclusion. There's been a lot of chatter among the hopefuls about the conduct of this election, and we're going to bring some of that chatter to you tonight. Now, some of it has been about the forced by-election, and others about the electoral system itself and what constitutes, for instance, an electoral violation. Tonight, we speak to some voters in Port Dickson. We have a visual artist, Sharon Chin, as well as a writer, Zadek Siu, coming online. We also have Bersih Executive Director, Yap Sui Seng. He's going to be telling us a little bit about how Bersih views the conduct of the by-election thus far. Also with me in the studio, who's going to help us clarify and give some a better sense of what's happening on the ground, is the newly minted chairperson of the Election Commission, Art Harun. If you remember, on the announcement of his position as chairperson, he rather cheekily noted that his main objective as EC chairperson is to avoid being scolded by Karim Razlan. Now, if you don't know what that reference is, he's talking about one of the most talked about moments in TV during the 14th general election.
What are you doing? You should just resign. If you can't handle the heat, get out of there. This is the kind of ridiculous rubbish we have to see the end of.
That was Karim Razlan, a writer and political commentator on Astro Awani on the night of the 14th general election, speaking about the conduct of the Election Commission. A man who's taken his place in that role as Election Commission is none other than Art Harun. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. We're going to be going live to Port Dickson later on as well. Awani's on hand for that historic charama that's going to be, that we're all kind of anticipating. Now, there's a lot to cover tonight, Art, and I know you're going to be very, clear with me about what's going on the ground. You've been asked many questions. Now, I'm going to start with a very simple question. Yeah. Was this or is this by-election a waste of public money?
Well, it's not really for me to say that, because I live by the law, and under the legal framework that we live in now, Member of Parliament can resign at any time without any reason. So here we have a case of a Member of Parliament, duly elected, who decided to resign and to give way for Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim to be nominated and run in the ensuing by-election. So under the law, he could do that, and he did that, and so a by-election is triggered. And insofar as the Election Commission is concerned, there is a vacancy, and we have to have a by-election, and that is...
Okay, so we have the letter of the law, yes, but we also have the spirit of the law.
Or, sure.
And there are many things that perhaps fall in between the cracks between these sure. two ideas. Now, sure. for you, is this a form of a manipulation of the electoral system, or are you confident that this was fair, a fair move on the part of Parti Keadilan Rakyat?
Well, I think it is up to the people to decide whether they would want to fill in the seat that was vacated by a PKR Member of Parliament with another PKR Member of Parliament. So if they feel strongly against that move, if the voters in that constituent feel very strongly against that move, they feel it is a waste of public fund, for example, or it is a betrayal of sort of their votes that were cast during on 9th May, then they would vote against the very person who is running in place of the person who had vacated. So it is really for the people to decide.
So you're relying in some ways, I guess, on the wisdom of the crowd, that in fact sometimes perhaps we Malaysians rely too much on the law to make decisions about, you know, what we ought to or ought not do.
Sure.
But there are matters that are legal in nature, and one of them has to do with the eligibility of Anwar Ibrahim as candidate. Now, has the Election Commission made a decision? Have they come out and said very clearly that he, in fact, is a legitimate candidate in this contest?
Well, we did that, I think, on the 30th,
September yeah.
on the nomination day, when we accepted his nomination papers, and we decided that he was a qualified person to be nominated, and therefore we accepted his nomination, and he is a announced as a candidate.
Why do you think this issue comes back up over and over again, do you think?
Well, I think from what I've read and from the legal action which has been filed so far, in one of them we are a party, the issue arose as to whether he was actually given a pardon which erases his disqualification, yes, so to speak. Now, Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim was given a pardon by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong under Article 42 of the Federal Constitution. Article 42 of the Federal Constitution empowers the Yang di-Pertuan Agong to pardon anybody who has been convicted of an offence. Yeah? So he was given a pardon under Article 42. But there is another article, which is Article 48. Article 48 is about a qualification to be a member of parliament, yes? And particularly 48E says if a person has been convicted of an offence and has been sentenced to 1 year jail or 2,000 fine, he is not qualified to be a member of parliament unless he is given a free pardon.
Right, so there is this distinction between a full pardon and a free pardon.
Free pardon. So that's the issue, whether there is such a distinction between a pardon, full pardon and free pardon. So the argument now that was raised in the legal suit is that Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, to be eligible or rather to be qualified to be a member of parliament under 48, Article 48, he must be given a free pardon. Whereas under 42, he was only given a full pardon. So let's the court decide. But insofar as the Election Commission is concerned, on nomination day, we exercise a purely administrative function. People come with nomination papers, they have paid the deposit, and insofar as Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim is concerned, he has been pardoned, and there is an opinion from the Attorney General saying that he is qualified. That's it. We accepted his nomination.
But yes. what about the concerns that in many ways, you know, institutions have been, and over the decades, bending over backwards to accommodate those who are in power? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is a suspicion among a lot of Malaysians that, you know, this might be happening again, that in fact we're not moving forward and that institutions are not being responsible to their remit. They're actually looking at who's in power. Mm-hmm. Do you accept the charge at this point in time that the Elections Commission is a party to that game, that they see the political realities and are responding to that?
Not under my watch.
Under
my watch.
Okay. Now, there's a very important question, I guess, for any election, which is it a level playing field? How do you, as EC chair, define what a level playing field is in, say, something like a by-election?
Yes. I think in a by-election, or in any election for that matter, a level playing field is where all the candidates are given fair treatment, no discrimination, and an equal opportunity. I think that is the ideal that the Election Commission under me would be aspiring to achieve. That's the ideal. Yeah. But we have to have a bit of context here. I was in office for the first time at 9 a.m. on Friday. the 29th. At 3 p.m. that day, I went to Port Dickson to attend and oversee the nomination day the next day, on the 30th, you know. And today is Monday. It's my 7th or 8th day in the office, you know. So we have to see that in that context, yeah. Now, insofar as nomination is concerned, I have always followed the law. My whole life is just about the law. My career is about the law. I'm a positivist, yeah, in the sense that as long as a law is passed, I follow the law.
But laws can be unjust.
I don't moralize, because the law is passed by the people's representative legally in accordance with procedures. And to me, that law is good. Because otherwise, we have to go behind the law and nothing would move.
Okay. We'll come back to the question of electoral reform.
Sure.
Perhaps your views vis-a-vis the rather contested views on how Malaysia can be more democratic.
Sure.
We're taking a short break. This is Let's Talk. We'll be back very soon. Welcome back. I'm Sharad Kutan and this is Let's Talk. We're talking about the Port Dickson by-election and issues related to it. Our guest tonight is Art Haroon, Chairperson of the Election Commission. Thank you again for staying with us. I know you haven't run out the out of the studio yet because we haven't brought Karim Razlan on, and no, Karim is not in the house. Look, there are a lot of things that that people maybe respond to instinctively or intuitively about what they think is fair and not fair, right? Quite apart from the law, as you see it, right?
Sure.
You, as you said earlier, you defend the law.
Yeah.
Now, Kan Chi Yuen, who's one of the independent candidates, now he was stopped from giving out pens.
Right.
Apparently, his logo is a pen, so he thought this would be a nice little gimmick.
Mm.
He was stopped, but others are saying, and I'm referring to Stevie Chan, who's also an independent candidate in the Port Dickson election, he's saying that, in fact, Anwar Ibrahim is engaging in what he calls budaya memberi hadiah dan janji-janji manis.
Mm.
Now, how do you start to make a distinction between a promise of, say, development or promise of a particular initiative and giving of actual gifts? I mean, is there a distinction to be made?
Essentially, there shouldn't be any distinction. But giving pens with a view to fish for votes is obviously an offence under the Election Offences Act. Yeah. But with regard to promises made for development, if the candidate wins, there are some decided cases prior to this which have held that such promises may not be election offences if they are made to everyone for the good of the whole constituent and without the intention to vote for to fish for votes, you know.
But of course, politicians are fishing for votes. I mean, in fact, I let me take the position of somebody who's as critic of the critics, as it were, right?
Sure.
Who say, well, you're being unreasonable. Politicians have to lay out their plans, and those plans will sound like their promises because they are about what they're committed to.
Exactly.
So how can politicians not make janji-janji manis?
Exactly. And that is why the EC had issued a statement last weekend that be careful with this, because it may be grounds for challenge in any election petition which is being filed, which is going to be filed later. And it may also constitute an offence. And I have reminded that there is a very thin line, very thin line, between election offences and proper promises made for the progress or development of the whole constituents. Very thin line. In fact, in one of the decided cases, by a very learned judge, one of the best judges in the Commonwealth that we ever had, Justice Yusofi Abdul Kadir, he reminded the line is very, very thin. And the politicians must be really, really careful in making these kind of promises.
So what do you expect going forward? Are you looking at politicians restraining themselves, doing their best not to come as close to the line as possible? Is this about changing the political culture? Because we have had Anwar Ibrahim criticise, at least in the initial reports, criticise both Bersih, the reform movement, as well as the Elections Commission, for being a little too much, nitpicking it, some critics would say.
Okay. I think the responsibility, of course, lies on Election Commission as well. We being the facilitator of the election, with whatever power that we have, you know, within the legal framework that we have now, have to play our role in reminding candidates to campaign properly and within the rules and regulations, not only that, but also within the spirit of democracy, which I think we have been doing so far. But with that, I am also hoping that the public could be educated, because I think the public is the biggest check and balance mechanism that we have in all elections. In all elections. So they must be vigilant, they must be aware of their rights, they must be aware of what can or what cannot be done. And when they are confronted with enough or sufficient facts, they have to lodge report with the proper authority. That's
how
number
many,
one.
Okay, before you carry on, how many people approach the election in that way, with the kind of seriousness or commitment to or understanding of democratic norms? I mean, how many of us view elections as form of entertainment? We go to dramas to laugh and to be entertained. We go to concerts, because concerts have become an issue as well, right? So changing that culture, is that something that the Elections Commission, is that your duty, you think?
It is not our duty, but I aim to create that culture. That is why we issue statements and in normal layman terms, easily understood, you know. We have to create that awareness. We need to start somewhere, you know. It's 2018. It's 61 years after independence. And we need to change. That culture has to be built. And if it had to be built now, if it had to be to start now, then we started. Otherwise, we will never attain that.
No, you were an acerbic critic of the Barisan National Government, right? I mean, when you also know something of the mind of Malaysians and their temperament or maybe their own, you know, failings. What do you think Malaysians would have to give up in order to start making the kind of changes that you can suggest?
Well, you know, first of all, they have to be aware. Yeah. To be aware, they have to observe and note and analyse and make their own conclusion. Okay? On my side, I have to feed them with information from time to time. I have to make them aware of the law from time to time in normal layman terms. I want them to start appreciating that. I think our youth, you know, they are at a level of education that can appreciate all these things. Yeah? But of course, we've got to bring away their focus from the normal Instagram and entertainment Twitter and, you know, entertainment news, entertainment YouTube, to these kind of issues. I think our youth, they are pretty politically aware. And you must remember, in GE14, the youth came out to vote in droves. And they vote for change.
Right, okay. We'll come back and pick up on that issue of lowering the voting age, and I want you to weigh in on that later on. I'm speaking to Art Haroon, chairperson of the Elections Commission. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be back with Sharon Chin. She's a visual artist who's moved from Kuala Lumpur, from the Klang Valley to Port Dickson. We're also going to speak to Zadek Siu, a writer, get their sense of the mood on the ground. Stay tuned to Let's Talk, only on Astro One. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutan. And on the line with me, all the way from Port Dickson, a little town on the edge of the century, as one series of photographs actually called it, is Sharon Chin. She's a visual artist, and Zadexiu, who's a writer. Thank you so much for joining me, Sharon and Zadek. Just first of all, why aren't you at this historic Churama? Could you tell us?
It rained very heavily today. And we decided to stay home.
And I wonder if that's going to be, in fact, the situation, as some analysts fear, on Saturday, that people might stay home. What's your sense on the ground? Are people of Port Dickson excited by this by-election? Or do you see a lot of people from out of town?
On nomination day, it's become very crowded. But in the days in between, it seems to be pretty normal, actually. It's not incredibly hectic, but I think as it gets closer to polling day, then it's going to become more and more circus-like.
Zadek, you and Sharon moved to Port Dickson some years ago, and I believe, Sharon, you've actually become a voter in Port Dickson. Do you have a lot of local friends? Are they talking about this by-election?
There are comments like we meet people and they sort of like, oh, what's the news? What's the news? What has Anwar said recently? We had a conversation a few days ago with our friend about what this means for people here, and we started talking with our friend about the 50 ringgit raise of the minimum wage. They wondered whether that would, like, this would mean anything to stuff like that.
Yeah, so for local people here, it's very much about the day-to-day, you know. Once the by-election is over, we still have to live here. So that's what concerns people here, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, really, political analysts got to make a distinction between national-level issues and local issues animating or being the dynamic behind voter behaviour. Do you think, in this instance, that people are thinking about the large national agenda, the issue of a succession, leadership of the Pakatan Harapan government? Is that something that is of chief of their concern? Are they looking at, you know, really local issues and they're hoping that Anwar Ibrahim becomes their local MP that resolves local problems?
I think there's a sort of double consciousness at work where people are, of course, interested in the whole circus of the national thing.
It's glamorous.
It's glamour, it's drama, it's, you know, it's like sort of paying attention to the royals. Like,
it's entertainment, actually. Yeah. But the people here are very aware of the stakes involved, and it's really questions about livelihood, daily livelihood, and the surroundings in Port Dickson, what this election is going to mean. I think that's what's most important to people.
Because the drama passes once the election ends.
Yeah.
But people still have to live their lives. So I think they're aware of both things.
Okay. I want to ask you, I mean, you have been kind of transplanted yourselves from, you know, for want of a better term, the Bangsa bubble into Port Dickson. You might be, you know, cast by some people as, you know, part of that super liberal constituency. Are you concerned about some of the statements made by candidates, whether it's Anwar Ibrahim or in the case of one of the independents, Stevie Chan, who says that this is about the politics of entitlement? Is that gaining traction on the ground in Port Dickson?
I honestly don't think so, no. I think that discourse is not relevant to local people here. What local people here care about are issues of livelihood, like the minimum wage, like making ends meet, education, the quality of education that their kids are getting, and also protection of the environment. We have two oil refineries in Port Dickson. One of them was recently bought over by a China corporation. And the amount of pollution that is in the air, these are what affect people day to day. So this is what
people
important.
Make a comment about, you know, the air smells bad every day.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's an offhand comment, but people think about it.
Yeah.
I think. Well, I grew up in this town. I moved to KL, but came back. And the thing about the refinery and the pollution, and the thing about the about wages being low, have always been things that concern people here. I think, people. There are a lot of people like me from Port Dickson who move abroad or move to KL. I think those people do feel more invested in the sort of national thing about, the politics of entitlement and all that stuff. But I think...
But I do want to say that it's not just about the bread and butter issues. So people here are aware of the larger sense of the nation. So, for example, in GE14, which I voted in, a lot of people that I talked to, the sense of it was, the emotion of it was that they want to change, you know? So this idea of hope, of things needing to get better,
right?
What about something that people hold close to them?
And now having to go to the polls again on Saturday, do you think, as some analysts fear, there will be low voter turnout? Have you spoken to anybody who says, well, you know, he's a sure win, Anwar Ibrahim's going to win, I'm not even going to bother going and casting my vote?
No, we haven't spoken to anyone who's expressed that. I don't think it will be a low voter turnout.
All right, thank you very much. That was Sharon Shin, who's a visual artist, and with her, Sadexu, a writer, both based in Port Dickson. So thank you so much for joining us. Very quick thoughts, Art, on their comments about the low voter turnout. Do you think it's an issue for the Elections Commission? Every time there's a by-election, is the low voter turnout something that concerns you?
Of course, you know, before this, we have Sungai Kandis and Palakong. Yeah, the turnout was quite low. In fact, it's very low. For Port Dickson, I agree with Sharon. I think voter turnout will be quite high. We expect it to be around 70%. It could be even more. I think because of the personality involved and because of the succession issue involved and because of the presence of the candidates who are really, really good independence candidate. You know, Stevie, I know him personally. He's a good fellow with very good knowledge. And of course, Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim himself, and the veteran, the ex-UMNO veteran,
Tan Sri Issa.
And these are really, really strong candidates, you know, with different backgrounds and with different set of voters who support them. So I think voters turnout would be quite high.
Okay. We look forward to the election on Saturday, but of course tonight there's the big trauma as well.
Yes.
Perhaps the weather might impede participation in that, but we will look to crossing over to Port Dickson later this evening.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Yap Swee Seng, who is the executive director of Brze, to get his views on what's happening during this campaign. And if he's concerned by what are seen as a violation. Stay tuned. This is Let's Talk on Astro Awani. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. We've been following, of course, the trauma out in Port Dickson. Expected, of course, this is a historic moment for the Pakatan Harapan government, at least, and the narrative there of the coming together of the two men, Anwar Ibrahim, because he's the candidate in the Port Dickson by-election, and Tun Dr. Mahathir wearing his Bersatu cap there, stumping it for Anwar. Now, we have on the line Arfa Yunus, who's our journalist, who's in Port Dickson. Thank you so much for joining us, Arfa. Well, begin with the question of the crowd size. Tun Dr. Mahathir said that the size of the crowd was as large as it was during the last election, that is the GE14. What's your estimate of the crowd there?
Thank you, Sharad. From my estimation, it looks about 10,000 people are here.
10,000 people. Now, that would be more than the number of people who turned up for the concert?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And it has to be because of Tun Mahathir's presence, and also because this is historic, because Tun Mahathir and Dato' Sri Anwar, they are sharing the same stage after 20 years.
Now, what about the mood in the crowd? We heard a lot of laughter, both from the speeches and things that were said by Anwar Ibrahim as well as Dr. Mahathir. They were in their charming best, making quite a number of jokes. Was it a really festive atmosphere at Port Dickson at the Charama?
Yes, definitely, definitely. People here looked very, very excited, and they were very tentative when they were listening to Dr. Mahathir and Dato' Sri Anwar's speeches. And if you might have heard it earlier, it is quite surprising and amazing at the same time when we heard coming from Dato' Sri Anwar saying that Dr. Mahathir is the best man for Malaysia. And also coming from Dr. Mahathir asking the people of Port Dickson to support Pakatan Harapan's candidate, which is Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim.
Now, speaking
and
of...
And got loud cheers from the crowd.
Now, because the crowd, can you tell if this was a largely local Port Dickson crowd, the people who are actually going to be voting on Saturday, or is it a mix of people from out of town, party supporters and party, you know, officials who have, you know, bussed themselves in to run the campaign?
Definitely a mixture, because there are also supporters from other states, not just party members, but also supporters from what, based on my talk, when I was having conversations with some of them earlier, they're from Johor, they're from Kedah, from Pahang, from Penang, a lot of from other states, not just Port Dickson voters.
Now, you know, earlier we were speaking to Art Harun, who's the chairperson of the Election Commission, and he says the Election Commission expects a high voter turnout this Saturday. Quite contrary to some of the reports that we've been reading, where analysts or even party officials worry that there'll be a low voter turnout. What's your sense of the turnout story for this by-election?
Okay, earlier, starting from last week, it doesn't look like the turnout is going to be high, because as we know, about 20% to maybe up to 40% of the PD voters would not even come back to Port Dickson because they are working outside of PD. But after the announcement 2 or 3 days ago about this tonight's Charama where Dr. Mahathir Mohamad will be coming here, and then suddenly the atmosphere here, it changed. It made people excited, and there are a few people, a few families that I talked to yesterday and earlier today. They're saying that their children will be coming back, but not all of them, of course, because some are in Singapore, outside of Malaysia. But to have the kind of voter turnout as mentioned by the chairman of SPR, of the EC chairman, of 87%, I think that is being very hopeful, but maybe that will happen, and hopefully that will happen, because if we looked at the previous three by-elections, the turnout percentage, that was very embarrassing.
Right. In fact, Art Harun just said that he expects about 70%. Now, I want to ask you about the composition of the crowd. Dr. Mahathir mentioned that he thought it was a very mixed crowd, and part of his message was that while race politics has no place in a multiracial Malaysia, that the government of the day has not, in fact, forgotten to deal with the specific problems of each of the ethnic communities that make up the country. Did you think that message went down well, especially because there are accusations against the Pakatan Harapan government that they have, in some ways, marginalised the Malay community in their agenda?
Yes. Well, when Dr. Mahathir was saying those words about that racial politics has no place here, and that he will, the government will do more for all races so that everyone will feel that everything is, that are done by the government is fair. The crowd in the beginning, they were a bit quiet. Maybe they were processing about what Dr. Mahathir was saying, but after a few seconds, they were also loud cheers. And maybe I believe that they are putting their hopes, because, like it or not, we won't know what will happen if the government would actually fulfill everything. But we need to have hope, and I think that's what the people think as well, that they are hoping for the best.
Yeah, Alpha, we know we've been talking about what constitutes an electoral violation on the show tonight. One of the issues, of course, is the question of these large-scale events, the presence of people in cabinet at them. Do you see anything that would you be concerned of about which doesn't, in fact, create a level playing field for all candidates?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite...
Do you think there's a level playing field for all candidates in this by-election?
Well, definitely for Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, as he's the Pakatan Harapan candidate, he has more advantage because of, you know, Pakatan Harapan is the government of the day. And at the same time, for the other independent candidates, they are spending their own money. It's very different if you see it here, because you can't see a lot of flags or banners compared to the flags and banners produced by Pakatan Harapan and also PAS, because they are big parties. So to say that everyone, all of the candidates, they have the equal opportunity to meet up and to spend a lot of money, definitely not.
Right. I mean, this is a high point coming quite early on. It's Monday and we still have 5 days to go before polling day. Do you think the campaign has reached its peak with the presence of Dr. Mahathir, or do you expect more to come in the coming days?
It looks like tonight is the peak of the event, of the campaign. But normally, one or two days before the election day itself, it's more exciting things are going to happen. And I'm hoping so, and maybe Somadi is going to come back here, or from what I've heard, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, the president of Bersatu, is coming down here to Port Dickson on Wednesday night.
Do you think he'll be a crowd puller?
Well, the charisma and the charm of Dr. Mahathir is second to none. So, while Tan Sri Muhyiddin has his own charm, but to compare with Tun Mahathir's presence tonight here, it cannot be compared.
Right. Well, yeah, he, of course, is a showstopper, Tun Dr. Mahathir, this evening at Port Dickson on the stump for Anwar Ibrahim, the candidate, one of seven of the PD by-election. We're following the by-election very closely. Stay tuned to Astro One. We're going to be giving you the latest news. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be back. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. We've been covering the events around Port Dickson and the larger issues around the electoral system. Earlier, of course, you heard from Art Harun, the chairperson of the Election Commission. We also spoke to people in Port Dickson, Sharon Chin, ZXU, who are based there, spoke to us about the feeling on the ground. Now we go to Yap Swee Sing. He's the executive director of Bersih, because well known for its campaign for fair and free elections in the country. I want to begin, Yap, thank you so much for joining us, with the question of your chief concerns during this by-election. Have you and your people seen things that concern you?
Yes, definitely. I think three things. I think first is there should be separation between political parties, activities, and government activities. As I think we see in the incident of the medal ceremony given in the military camp, where Anwar appeared in that event and given VIP treatment. I think there are two key issues here. One is whether there has been a level playing field for other candidates, because if other candidates turn up in the same manner as Anwar, would they be treated the same as Anwar? So that's the first question. And secondly, is the administrative neutrality, because I think there should be a clear separation between government's activities and political parties' activities. There should not be any abuse or misuse of government machinery. So when only Anwar turned up in that event, then I think it raised questions about whether government machineries have been abused and government positions have been abused in that event. No, so yeah. I think that's... Mm-hmm. Yes.
Please carry on. You said you had a third point to make.
Yes. And then the other one is, of course, the tweeting, because we are hearing that there will be a big dinner, free dinner, given on the eve of the polling day. And it is very clear in the Election Offences Act, Section 8, that tweeting is prohibited. And so I think such dinner should not happen, and it may constitute a violation of election offences.
Yeah, why do you use the word may? I mean, is the law, are the guidelines very clear about what can be done and what cannot be done, or is there, in fact, a grey area that is open to interpretation?
Yes, there has been a grey area in the law, because in the past there have been cases such as this brought to court. And the court interpretation is that there should be a transaction, you know, that you treat, and the tweeting actually contributed to the change of votes. That, for instance, if you are a supporter of Party A, but because of tweeting, you shifted to Party B in your voting pattern.
So, but that is
really
difficult to prove.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so what is it that you think should happen? Do you think politicians themselves should restrain themselves from engaging in anything that could be deemed unfair?
Yeah, I mean, the politicians, they are appealing to the people, and they are appealing to the people of good governance, rule of law, and so they should set a good example. That even in their election campaign, they should be fair. They should be running a clean campaign, a fair campaign. And especially, I think in this case of partisan by-elections, one of the candidates is going to be the future prime minister. So I think it is important for politicians to set a good example and to convince the people why they should be voted into parliament.
But yeah, what about the question of personal responsibility of voters? Now, if the voter feels that this is an act of bribery or an inducement to change their voting patterns, shouldn't they just refuse to go? I mean, can we, in some ways, come to a consensus that ultimately it is the voter who needs to make the choice, that the laws are good, but in fact, people need to sniff out when they're being induced to give their vote to one candidate rather than the other.
Yes, I think definitely this is one way to go, because I think it really involves the importance of civic education, so that the public and the voters, the electorate, actually knows actually this are wrong, and it should not be condoned, and it should not be cultivated. So I think it is on the part of the people as well, the responsibility to address these issues and build a more healthy culture, political culture. Yeah, and so I think it is the people also has to be part to be blamed for the culture that we are having now. So I think it is not entirely on the politicians, but I think also the people themselves have to realize this is not the right way to go. And if we really want to build a more healthy, mature, democratic political culture, this is what we should reject.
I mean, in some ways, is Bersay in a, you know, between a hard rock, you know, a rock and a hard place, rather, that in many ways the politicians are angry for you at you for pointing violations out, and the people might actually might think that you're nitpicking, or that you are, in fact, is the expression that was used in relation to Bersay, that they're nitpicking, that you're looking at the small faults, rather than looking at the broader picture.
I think. These are not really small faults, because it may involve government resources being abused and taxpayers' money. And I think it is important that under this new Malaysia that we actually address these problems while it is still small and not widespread, because I think that's what has been experienced by the country. When smaller problems were not addressed under the rule of Barisan Nasional, and it grew and become bigger and bigger until what we are seeing now, the 1MDB scandal, where millions and billions of money were used, including in the election, to for election engineering in the 13th general election. And the country is in a mess with corruption, with so much of a wastage and leakages and money laundering. So I think in the end, it is the people who will suffer, because we are not addressing the issues now. So I think it is important for us to nip it in the bud now, while this new government is still shaping the policies, and it is important for the people to keep a check of the progress.
Well, I want to ask you about the Elections Commission. It's now got a new leadership. Ad Haron is there. He's a lawyer, of course, and well-known critic of the Barisan National Government, a very acerbic critic, pointing out many of the flaws in governance during their tenure. Now, do you think, or are you confident that the leadership of the Election Commission, as it stands, will be able to address this?
Yes, I think, Al Haroon is a good candidate for the Election Commission, and we welcome the appointment of him as the chairperson of the Election Commission. But I think he alone will not be able to do everything. And so there are still other six commissioners who are still there, who are partly responsible for the mess in the management of the last general elections. And I think they should be replaced with more reform-minded candidates to be in the Election Commission, and working together with Ad Haroon to actually push through the important reform in the electoral system, including cleaning up the electoral roll, redelineation, as well as postal votes for overseas voters, as well as looking into the gerrymandering and malapportionment problems and the electoral system. So I think there are so many other issues that need concerted efforts, and we have the confidence in Ad Haroon to lead this reform. But I think the government needs to appoint more reform-minded people into the commission to help Ad Haroon to achieve these goals.
Thank you so much, Yap. That was Yap Sui Seng, executive director of Bersih, movement dedicated to electoral reform. He was, of course, weighing in on the Port Dickson by-election, some of his concerns there about practices perhaps reminiscent of the previous administration, mixing or a blurring of lines between party and state. So that's something that we will continue to look at in the coming days. Remember, the Port Dickson by-election is going to be on Saturday, the 13th of October. I'd like to thank my guests this evening. We had Art Harun, Election Commission Chair. We also had Zedek Siu and Sharon Chin, both who live in Port Dickson. They've been giving us the feel of on the ground. Now, if you have any views on what's happening in Port Dickson, you can always share it with us at Astro Awani. And also, you could tweet me at Sharad Kutin. This has been Let's Talk with me. Stay tuned only on Astro Awani.